You know, these Jews here, they murmured because he said, "I am that bread which came down from heaven." People have problems with Christ coming down from heaven. And if he didn't come down from heaven, then he couldn't be our Savior. He had to be divine. He had to be God. He had to come from another world. And yet when he came into this world, he became what everybody means. He said, "I'm the true bread. I'm the true light. I'm the true water. I'm a true life." Everything that a soul needs in this world, a person needs in this world, in the natural life, Christ becomes that in our spiritual life. And I read here that these people came looking for him. And in looking for him, they were looking for him not because of the miracles. They said, indeed, it says there, and what is it, in verse 14 here of John chapter 6, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet should come into the world.'" They didn't say the Messiah. They didn't say the Savior. They didn't say the Redeemer. They didn't say the Lamb of God. They didn't say the Passover. They said the prophet. They said the prophet. Now, in reading this passage here and reading this, I saw some things that were true then and are true now. And they're true concerning men's thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. First, we see their spiritual ignorance. It says in verse 26, "And men are spiritually ignorant, so God gives them sense." Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Now, they went great pains to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They took a ship and went over to Capernaum to follow him. Some walked around the lake or the sea to get over there, because they had seen Christ filling people's bellies. And they ate from that. And they went to great pains to follow the Lord just strictly for these temporal blessings. Yes. And a lot of people go to great pains to follow him for their temporal blessings. And people, preachers are telling them that the Lord Jesus will meet all your temporal needs. He'll bless you like you never blessed. If you'll give him 10%, you just won't have to never worry about nothing. If you'll just come and just do and do and do, then he'll give you all kinds of things. They follow him strictly for their temporal blessings. And secondly, they were concerned with works. Doing something to be saved. Look what it says there in verse 28. "Then said they unto him, 'What shall we do that we might work the works of God?'" First of all, they wanted Christ for his temple blessings. Then they were concerned with their work, with working, being saved by working. And our Lord Jesus Christ just said in verse 27 that he says that he'll give everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. You don't work for it, shall give unto you. "For him has God the Father sealed." But they started, when he started talking about giving, they started talking about working. And then they, not only that, then our Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 29, he spoke about faith. "Here then Jesus said unto them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God the Father, whom he has sent.'" Now this work means that it's God's work which enables you to believe on him who has sent. It's not a work that you do to believe. It's not your work to believe. It's God's work that you believe. You know, a person doesn't become a believer the moment he believes because God's already given him faith. He can't do anything else but believe.
Amen. Right.
It's God's work that you believe. He doesn't give you a work. His faith is not conditional. It's something that he does for you. Well, when he told them that, you know that you believe on him whom he has sent. Then instead of believing, what did they say? "Show us a sign." Sign don't have a thing in the world to do with faith. He just got through saying believe. He just got through saying giving. They said work. They said signs. And signs are not for believers, but for unbelievers.
That's right.
And though the Lord Jesus Christ says, believe on Him, and they said, show us a sign that we may do this. And then they said, what work are you doing that we may do this? But oh, you see how spiritually ignorant people are, and that's the way people are today. They're not any brighter in the things of Christ, any more spiritually alive, spiritually rejoicing in Christ then, and they know more about Him then now than they did then. But beloved, also see here and rejoice in the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The simplicity of it. He spoke as Himself as the bread of life. One thing, bread of life. This shows us, beloved, that He says, I'm the bread of life. That means that we're to think upon Him, feed upon Him, find our sustenance in Him. And thank God we've not received a gospel that it takes a scholar to understand. Thank God we've not received a mathematical gospel that it takes a genius to figure out. Thank God we haven't received a metaphysical gospel that it takes somebody to sit down with a degree in philosophy to figure out what it is. We haven't got a mystical gospel that's got all fogged up with all kinds of signs and rituals in it. Our gospel is not confined to scholars, men of genius. We have a gospel for the poor man, the simple man, the laboring man, the common man. And thank God that we do. And let me tell you something. When our Lord Jesus Christ said here in verse 32, He says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, now watch what He says here now. For the bread of God is He. He which cometh down from heaven. He identified Himself as He which cometh down. The true bread is He which cometh down from heaven. He identifies Himself as that bread. And cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am, that's another one of His I ams. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. And now let me say something about bread. Bread is the most common article on the table. It's the most common article on the table. And it's a blessed type of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most common thing on the table. And everybody's got it. There's not a house here represented that when you go on, that one of the first things you'll do is put your bread in the oven if you're going to bake it. Or you'll get it out of the loaf if you're going to do that. The first thing you're going is after bread. Now look what it said here, our Lord said in verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. A man may eat thereof and not die. They ate and died. Eat Christ, you don't die. Then He says down in verse 53, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Watch it now. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. So you see, bread is the most common article. And our Lord said, I am that bread of life. Now when we sit down to eat, the bread that we reach and get, the bread that we break, the bread that we take, it has a sermon in it, has a message in it to us if we'll just listen to it. You know what it takes for something to become bread, a grain to become bread, whether it's wheat, whether it's barley, whatever it is that they make bread out of, no matter what it is. You know what it has to go through in order to become bread to satisfy your hunger? The first thing you have is a grain, just a little tiny grain. And it has to be planted. And our Lord Jesus Christ was sown, planted, and planted in the womb of a virgin. And he came into this world. And then he also said this, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And that one grain coming out of there will go in one but come out many. And that's the way Christ went into the womb, and he went into the tomb, and he came out, and he brought forth much, much fruit. Huh? And then the grain, not only that, then it's threshed. You got to go thresh it. And you get all the chaff out of it. But our Lord Jesus Christ had no chaff in him. But he was threshed. Our Lord went down. He come down into the world, and he went through this world, and he was threshed by the world. He was threshed by the devil. He was threshed by the flesh, and yet was without sin. He was threshed by men, and men found no fault in him, found no sin in him. Our Lord Jesus Christ was threshed by the holiness of God, and the holiness of God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased."
Amen.
And then you take that grain after it's threshed, and then it's ground. You know, years ago, and I guess some people still do it, they used to raise this hickory cane corn, and they'd all take a sack full of it to somebody and grind it, and they'd take that and put it between two millstones and just grind and grind and grind. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he was put between the millstones of God's wrath and justice. As sin was found on him, he was crushed. He was crushed and ground and ground and ground and ground. Crushed between the millstone of God's wrath that must punish sin. Of God's justice that said the soul that sinneth it must die. And our Lord Jesus Christ was ground and ground and ground between the millstone of God's wrath and justice. And then when it's ground, then it's put in the oven. Then it's put in the oven. Huh? And our Lord Jesus Christ passed through the fire of men's hatred. Oh, how they hated him. And it said, our Lord says, "You hate." It's written, "You'll hate me without a cause." Our Lord Jesus Christ passed through the fire of God's judgment. He passed through the fire of the humiliation of bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He went through the fire of being rejected of his own Father when he says, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And he went through the fire of crying out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He went through the fire of the cross till he cried out, "I thirst." And did they give him water? No, they gave him vinegar. Oh, man, what a message if we'll just listen to the bread. Just listen to the bread. And all messages all around us, if we'll just listen to them. When we look at the heavens, they declare the glory of God. You look at them at night, and there they, the glory of God. Look at them over the day, the glory of God. The firmament, when we look at the land, the earth, it declares His glory, shows His handiwork. Look out at night and the stars tell of His power. The Scriptures tells us that He named every single one of those stars. Named every one of them.
Yes, sir.
Astronomers go out there and they just get flabbergasted at these stars and how they see them and how many they are. And they can't begin to count them. And they say, "This star over here and that star over there. And the morning star, the evening star. All these wonderful stars." Well, every one of them and every constellation, God put them up there. God named them. And not one of them falls that God don't cause to fall.
Amen.
Huh? And all, every time the sun gets up, every time the sun rises in the morning, it tells us the Son of Righteousness rises with healings in His wings. And it also tells us how faithful God is, that the sun gets up every day. You may not see it, but it's still there. It may be pouring down the rain, but it's still there. And it gets up every day and shows us God's faithfulness. And every sparrow that we see, every raven that we see tells us that God feeds His people. Every lily tells us how that God clothes us. Every spring of water tells us that Christ is the refreshing water of life. Every rock tells us that Christ is that shadow of a rock in a weary land. All of them preached a rain shower that comes down. God said He had caused the rain, the latter rain, to fall on us. Oh my, so many things. That here our Lord calls Himself bread. The most common thing that there is. Bread. Bread. What is it about this bread of life that we say, Lord, as they did, evermore give us this bread? Why? What is it about it that we say, Lord, what is it? And so, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Well, first of all, it's the bread that God provided. Ain't that what it says in verse 31? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven. Then Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you that bread. He gave it to you. And then look what it says. He giveth, in verse 33, He giveth life unto the world. So everything about it here is a gift. Bread's a gift, and Christ is a gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. You see, Christ came as the gift of God. Not something we work for, not something we deserve, not something we earned, not something we even asked for. He was a gift of God. A gift of God. Just like manna was given to Israel, Christ is given to spiritual Israel. He said He is that bread which came down from heaven. Every morning, you know, them people came out of Egypt and they began to murmur. God sent them bread from heaven. And that bread came down. They went out that morning. There's little old wafers laying around. Looked like hoarfrost. They began to gather it up. They began to gather it up. And beloved, those people are dead. But now you don't gather up Christ. Christ comes to you.
Amen.
And spiritual Israel. He comes. And beloved, Christ, and it says here in verse 33, He which cometh down. Christ came down. He came way down. He came from glory itself. He came from where the angels worshipped Him and adored Him and blessed Him and came down here and dwelt among us, lived among us. And oh, how low did He come? How far down did He come that He made Himself of no reputation?
Yeah.
Humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So I tell you why we say, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It's the bread that God provided for us. God provided it. I didn't provide it. The church didn't provide it. Politicians sure ain't going to provide it. You know, they may say there'll be a car in every garage and a job for every man. But our Lord, when He says, I give you something, you got it. And our Lord is, I tell you another reason they say this, because our Lord, the true bread, meets all the wants. All the wants of the new life, of the spiritual life. And you know, when men are born of God, we have new wants, we have new desires. Just like when you're an unconverted person, you have wants, you have desires. When you become born of God, when you're born of God, when you're made a new creature in Christ, with that new nature, with that spiritual life, there comes new wants, new desires, new pains, new longings, new appetites. And as a new man, we have to have new food. We have to have a different type. We have a different appetite. We have different desires. And we're full of all these new needs that we never had before, new cravings that we never had before in this new life. I never craved to read the Bible until I got converted. I never craved going to worship until I got converted. I never craved Christ till I got converted. I never craved and desired to be done with sin till I got converted. Ain't that right? I never had a spiritual pain till I got converted. I never knew what groaning over sin was till I got converted. And oh, beloved, we're full of new and nothing. Oh, we want something to feed on. When we get converted, when we have the new birth, we want something to feed that new man on. We crave something to feed that new man on. And we have it.
Yes.
Christ, the true bread. Christ, the bread of life. Not 50 things. Christ's not a smorgasbord. You take just whatever part you want out of it. One thing. This one thing, Paul said, I want to do. One thing. One person. One bread. That's what he says. Huh? One bread. One thing. That's not hard to understand, is it? Mary makes such good cornbread, I can make a whole meal out of her cornbread. I honestly can. Just give me some cornbread. Oh, this is so good. But oh my, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the ideal bread for us. The perfect bread for us. People tell us, you know, that we need other bread too. We need to mix Christ up with something. We need a little law mixed in with Christ. We need a few works mixed in with Christ. We need a little free will mixed in with Christ. We need a little morality mixed in with Christ. Our Lord said, a little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. No, no, Christ is the perfect bread, the ideal bread. We need nothing mixed with Him. He's enough. He's enough. That's why they murmured and said, how is this? And He says that bread was coming down from heaven. He's just Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. Oh, they didn't want that bread. They didn't like that bread. And others said, well, give us a sign. Give us a word. They wanted something to add to this bread. And Christ said, I'm the bread that giveth life.
Amen.
Oh, my, the manna was ideal, perfect for traveling through the wilderness. And, oh, Israel ate that manna for 40 years. Yeah, the manna was ideal for traveling through the wilderness. Why? Because, first of all, it was fresh every morning.
Oh,
you had new bread every morning, fresh bread every morning. Huh? And not only that, but it sustained them through the day. What they had that day sustained them for that day. And it also tells us that every soul had his own portion. Some had much, some had more, some had little, but nobody lacked what they needed. Some had greater appetites, some had less appetites, but they all had just exactly the amount of bread they needed for that day, for that day. And over in Psalm 78, it said it was angels' food sent down from heaven. There never was such bread as what fell in the wilderness. Never has been, never will be again. And that's why our Lord says, your fathers did eat man in the wilderness, and they're dead. But he that eateth this bread shall never die. Never die. The manna was perfectly, perfectly pure food. Nothing was mixed with it. Nothing. You know, a man is what he eats. Do you know that? We are what we eat. We're what we eat. Yeah. You know, there's a certain silkworm. I can't think of the name of it here, but he whatever kind of a color of a leaf he eats, he creates that kind of a silk. If he eats red leaves, you get red silk from that silkworm, green or whatever, a certain kind. And they're colored by the leaves they eat upon. And you know, everything about us is affected by what we eat. Yeah. If you eat too much, you get sluggish. Eat too much of certain things, you get fat. Eat too much of certain things, you get sick. But then you eat Christ. When we feed on Christ and Him alone, you know how it'll affect us? You know how it affects us? It'll affect our minds. You feed on Christ, it'll affect your mind. Huh? Oh, how it'll affect your mind. It'll fill your mind. Feed your mind. Oh, to feed on Christ, to feed your mind, to feed your understanding, to feed your knowledge on Christ. And oh, when we feed on Christ, we become pure. We become lowly. We become meek. We become humble. We become gentle. We become content. We become more like Him. The more we feed on Him, the more we become like Him. The more we want to be like Him. The more we take Him into ourselves, the more like Him we become. And then He's the sustenance for our faith. The only thing that will keep your faith and feed your faith and increase your faith is feeding on Christ. Now you keep John 6 and let me show you over here in Philippians chapter 4. We'll show you something. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see this here just a moment. Philippians 4. You know, people that don't feed on Christ, it's just awful the things they come up with. Just absolutely awful the things they come up with. They're interested in doing something for God instead of God doing something for them. They're interested in making themselves acceptable to God instead of Christ being made acceptable to them. And oh, look what it says here now, verse 4. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now watch this. Let your moderation or your temperate living, your even living, be known unto all men. Now watch this. The Lord is at hand. Now what that means is that the Lord is at your right hand, that He's ever present wherever you are. The Lord is at hand. That's why I said always rejoice. Christ is there. That's what that means. You find any place and you look, go, you study that, and it'll tell you that the Lord is at your right hand. The Lord stands right at your side, always ever present with you. And so that, beloved, as we feed on Christ, be joyful, be patient. And you know, He's the substance for our faith. He's the sustenance for our love. He's the sustenance for our patience. He's the sustenance for our joy. The Lord's at hand, always ever present. And that's why I said here back over in John 6, He said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, indeed and true. Not only is our Lord Jesus Christ a perfect bread and pure, but He's also sufficient. He's all, you know, He's sufficient. The manna was all they really needed in the wilderness. What they needed water and bread. Christ was both. God smoked the rock, not come water. God sent bread every morning. They had fresh bread every morning. And that was sufficient for them. That got them all the way through the wilderness. You know, the manna was all they really needed. Before they lusted for the food of Egypt. And they called it light bread. But beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ for us right now, yesterday and today and tomorrow, He's sufficient for us. His grace is sufficient for us. His power is sufficient for us. His blood is sufficient. Every part about Him is sufficient. We need nothing else other than Christ and Him alone. Huh? He's sufficient for us and for our labors. He's sufficient for us when we have anguish. He's sufficient for us when we have grief. He's sufficient for us when we have sorrow. He's sufficient for us when we feel alone. And for the babe in Christ, He's milk. For the grown man, He's meat. Oh, He's sufficient. We've been proving that for years. He's proved that to us for years and years and years. Ain't He? He has. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him there's a sweetness. I know the first time I went to Mexico, they got a bakery down there, and every morning they'd run over there and get a bag of sweet breads, all different kinds of breads. They call them sweet breads. And they'd bake a bunch in the morning, and everybody'd get over there as fast as they could to get them a bag of that sweet bread. Because when they sold out, they wouldn't make no more till the next day. And they'd go over there, and Betty'd go over there and get a big bunch of sweet breads. And all that, and every different, all those different breads had a different flavor, different type. Well, there's in Christ a sweetness all its own. You know, they said the manna, if you want to read about the manna, you read Exodus 16. But they said the manna tasted like wafers with honey. Wafers that had honey on them. But now Jewish tradition says that it tasted according to every man's taste. Whatever your favorite taste was, whatever flavor you liked or taste you liked the best, the manna had that flavor to you. Huh? Now I think that's probably right, and I'll tell you why. So to each one, the manna was a personal and a peculiar food. Our tastes change, you know.
That's right.
When you're a baby, you don't eat meat. And you have different tastes. And as you grow older, your taste grows. Your taste changes. And you know, there's a sweetness and a taste about our Lord that precisely suits each and every one of us. And it's different for each of us. And He tastes different to us according to our circumstances. Now, He tastes different to me when I'm depressed than He does when I'm full of joy. He tastes different to me when I'm greatly burdened or tried about something than He is when I'm full of faith.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He tastes different to you when you're in affliction and in a hospital bed than He does when you're sitting here in the service. Don't He?
Yes, sir.
He tastes different to you. And whatever your situation or circumstances is, He has the taste for that. He has exactly the right... Whatever taste you're going through, circumstances or situation, Christ is that bread for that situation. Huh? And all, beloved, because of our situation... You know, when we get sick, we lose our appetite. We lose our appetite. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, being who He is, He'll get you over your sickness. His bread will even heal you from your sickness. Let me tell you something else about this bread. This bread was given by God, given to Israel, and it was suitable for the wilderness, and only for the wilderness. You know, when they got to Canaan and they got into the promised land, there was no more manna. No. They took their nets while they took their kneading trough with them. But they never needed any bread all the time. Never made any bread all the time they was in the wilderness. God provided this for them. But when they got into Canaan, they got out those kneading troughs, started kneading that bread. You know why? Because they was in the promised land. But all, beloved, our Lord is given to us as bread from heaven, and we're in this wilderness right here. Oh, what a wilderness we're in. And it's getting more of a wilderness all the time. More and more of a wilderness all the time. I just feel like it. I don't know which way. I mean, it's just getting, oh, wilderness. Oh, I can name a thousand, I can name a dozen wilderness right off the top of my head. This world is so much wilderness. Wilderness in religion, wilderness in politics, wilderness in the flesh, wilderness in the world, wilderness in the economics, wilderness with our children, wilderness in our own hearts and souls, wilderness. And all we need is bread from heaven, and it's given to us in this wilderness.
Amen.
In this world where we have to work. In this world where there's weeping. In this world where there's toils and troubles. He's that bread. In this world with all of its cares, in this world with all the changes that take place, in this world where there's wars going on and where there's woes going on, in this world where there's fears and there's spreading, He is sufficient for us in this wilderness.
Amen.
Thank God we have bread to eat in this wilderness. And as our Lord said to His disciples, I have meat to eat that you know not of. We have meat to eat that the world don't know nothing about.
Yes,
and as bread, not only is He suitable for this wilderness, bless His holy name. Oh, I got something to feed on. I can sit, and you've done this too. You have sat in the morning drinking your coffee. You've stopped to eat lunch. You've got the end of your day. You sit out on your porch or your deck, and you sit there, and you look around you, and you relax a little while, and you begin to think about God. You begin to think about Christ, and you say, you just get overwhelmed, and you just look around, and you say, Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. And as our bread from heaven, as the bread given to us, He's suitable for us all. He's suitable for us all.
Absolutely.
The Lord Jesus was the Son of Mary, but He's also the Son of God. He was a man like ourselves. As the children were partakers of flesh and blood, He likewise took part of the same. No, he bore our sorrows. He was acquainted with our grief. He is a brother born for adversity when we're in trouble. He's the brother born to come and meet the needs in our adversity. When we're tried, when we're troubled, when we're burdened, our Lord Jesus Christ is too. And He was. When we have to agonize to pray, He did too. When we have to endure slander and lies and cursings, He did too. Let me slice you off a piece of this bread. Let me slice you off a piece. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to make His soul an offering for sin. And when He saw the travail, that threshing, that fire, when He saw the travail of His soul, He was satisfied. He was the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, that He might bring us unto God. He Himself bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And oh, beloved, He did it. He did this, suffered this, all to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And after He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the debt's been paid. We don't owe another dime. We don't owe a penny. We don't owe a farthing. Justice has been satisfied. He can't come and demand no more from us. Our Redeemer paid it. Oh, sinner, eat this bread. You'll never be hungry again. He's our bread. In His resurrection, He's our bread. He is our bread in His life. He is our bread in His death. He's our bread in His resurrection. He's our bread in His ascension. He's our bread on His throne. He's our bread in our acceptance of Him. He's our bread, as it says, in glory. He's our bread from cradle, from the day we're born till the day we leave this world. And everywhere He's at, He's our bread. Oh, sinner, 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 eat this bread, cover this bread. That's why I said, he that cometh to me and eateth, I give. And I'll tell you something about bread. Bread's no good unless you eat it. It'd rather mold if you don't eat it. When they ate, then they gathered too much and said, we're going to keep it over, it stank. And, oh, bread's no good unless it's eaten. And isn't that what our Lord Jesus Christ said? He said that in verse 27. John 6. Labor not for that meat that perishes. Don't go out here and labor for a life that's just going to perish. Don't go out here and labor to be accepted with God. Don't go out here and deceive yourself. But oh, go after that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now watch this. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Oh. In John in verse 35, our Lord said, I am the bread of life. Now watch this. He that cometh to me. How many times did He say, he that cometh to me? He stood that last day, the great day of the feast, and said, if any man's thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, shall never thirst. Cometh to me shall never hunger. Oh, beloved, Christ must be received. What is it to receive Him? It's to trust Him. It's to believe Him. Well, how do I trust Him? How do I receive Him? How do I do that? Believe everything that's revealed about Him. Take Him, say, it's my bread. Say, He died for me. Believe He died for me. Do you believe He died for you? Do you believe He took your sins? Do you believe He went to that cross? Do you believe He was placed for you? Do you believe He was put in the fiery oven for you? Do you believe He came down from heaven for you? Do you believe He went to the grave for you? Do you believe He ascended for you? And oh, if you believe He died for me, you say, yes, He's my Savior. Yes, He's my bread. Yes, He's my everything. And not only did He die for me, but now He lives for me.
Yeah.
And those who feed upon Christ are supremely, supremely blessed. Our Lord said, they shall never hunger again. And I have one hunger, and that's for Christ. That's the only hunger I have, ain't you, James? I don't hunger for anything else in this world. I'm happy as if I had good sense. Huh? Men may offer us many things, but Christ is enough.
Yes.
And oh, listen to this in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, watch this, you have no life in you. If you don't eat Christ, receive Christ, believe Christ, it's because you don't have any life. But if you have life, only living people eat. And living people eat Christ.
Amen.
And feed upon Him. Huh? And this precious word right here, this word right here is Christ to us as He was to His disciples in real life. This is where you eat. God help you to take Christ now as your all. Our Father, our gracious, gracious Father, thank You for the wonderful mercy and grace given us in Christ. Thank You for the truth as it is in our Lord. God bless Christ to be the bread of life to those here today, to me, to all. Oh Lord, we thank You for this bread. We thank You for Christ. We thank You for His doing. We thank You for His dying. We thank You for Him identifying with us and bearing our sins. Thank You that You've made Him unto us everything we need, that we rejoice in Him, that we love to eat Him, that we know what it is to live on Christ, His flesh and His blood. The flesh that sustains us, and the blood that cleanses us, and the blood that makes us acceptable and righteous in God's sight. God bless this word to the hearts of the hearers today. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Amen.